Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, and we're thankful for the many blessings you give us every day. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to come here and worship you. We're thankful for a country where we can worship freely without any consequence for it, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for those who are protecting our country. Lord, most of all, we're thankful for your son Jesus and his death on the cross. Lord, we ask you to be with Cameron tonight, and we ask that we can take his lesson tonight and use it in our everyday lives. Lord, we ask this all through your son's name. Amen.
Good evening. I'm so glad that you decided to be here with us at Henderson for worship service tonight. If you're a visitor, thank you for taking an hour to come here and be among a bunch of imperfect people coming before a very perfect God. And we're about to open his word for a few minutes and hopefully find a few things that can make us a little less imperfect, if that makes any sense. The topic that I was given for this evening was wisdom in relationships. And I, looking at that and thinking about that from the very beginning, I feel incredibly inadequate to be up here talking to you about this right now, because one of the longest relationship I've ever had has been about a year long, and still currently I'm engaged. But like, there are people that I see in the back right now that have had a relationship that is 40, 50 times longer than one that I ever had. And so when I look at it and I think about it, I kind of feel like that person that you always have in marriage and family class, that they always raise their hand to give their wisdom, even though that they've never been in a marriage or a family before, right? But they know everything about it. That's how I feel right now, up here talking to you about wisdom in relationships. But luckily, what we see and what we're about to find is that everything that we're about to talk about and everything that we're about to see where we can improve in our relationship has no contingency on me, because we have someone so much more wise than myself, someone that is so much more wise than people that have been married 50, 60 years. We have the writings of the wisest man to ever walk on this earth other than Jesus Christ, and that's Solomon. Next slide, please. When we look at the book of Proverbs, we see that overall it is an incredibly different book. It's written by Solomon, who we find in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 through 34. Had over 3,000 different wisdom sayings. And just as he would go along in life, he was so wise that he would just spurt off these one-liners, right? You know those preachers all the time that you want to write down and quote them because they say things and it's just like pure gold? That was Solomon on a daily basis. Everywhere that he would go and everywhere that he would do, he would be able to relate whatever situation he was in life and take it and boil it down into this one phrase. And so what Proverbs is a culmination of all those phrases that have been brought together and given to us. And Proverbs, it's lumped in with Psalms. It's lumped in with Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes and all the wisdom literature. But in all reality, the book that we're looking at and the book that from my understanding, y'all have been going through all semester long, is different from any other book in the Bible. Because when we look at Ecclesiastes and we read an entire passage that is in there, we can go and look and find exactly how that passage correlates to what was going on specifically in Solomon's life. We can go somewhere in Ecclesiastes and find in Solomon's life where it connected to Solomon dealing with his sons, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We can go to Psalm 51 and find where what's being said in Psalm 51 directly connects back to what was happening in David's life when it came to him and Bathsheba. And what's so different about the book of Proverbs, and almost something that makes me love the book of Proverbs a little bit more, is that we can't necessarily pin down every single one-liner and every single phrase to something that concrete, tangible, this is the moment that Solomon wrote this, and here's why he did, and that scares me. And the reason that scares me, next slide please, is because I have a great fear of me getting up here and just giving you his needs, her needs, Cameron version, and then slapping a bunch of Psalms on it, a bunch of Proverbs on it to try to back up all of my relationship advice. That scares me to death. I don't want to do that at all. So the way that we're going to try to avoid that is everything that we're going to talk about and everything that we're going to look at, very generally, we're going to connect it back to something that Solomon dealt with and something that Solomon was going through in his lifetime and in his kingship. Now, what I want us to see first and foremost, not only is it that God is the one that gives wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says that, but also, furthermore, the way that we're going to look at relationships is a little bit different than the way you may have been expecting when you came in and sat down this evening. Next slide, please. When we see the biblical concept of what relationships are and what relationships are to be, I think so often we read a title like this and we thought to ourselves, well, that obviously means it's got to be a girlfriend or a friend or a parent or a boyfriend or somebody, or a husband or a wife, somebody that I'm close to, somebody that I'm connected with, that I have a sort of relationship with, right? But when we see the way that God views relationships, we see the way that He looks at it and the way that He illustrates relationships for us in Scripture, is that from the very beginning of time, up through the way that Jesus Christ, when He sat down and He taught His disciples, when He walked along those roads alongside them, He didn't just teach them on how to do relationships with people. He taught them how to do relationships in life. And here's what I mean by that. You and I have relationships. A relationship with anything and everything that we are connected to. If you have any sort of investment, any sort of connection to something, whether it be human, whether it be tangible, intangible, we have, our life is composed of relationships. So it goes so much farther. What we're about to look at tonight goes so much farther than just the person sitting next to you. It goes so much farther than your parents or your social club. The kind of relationships that God talks about and the kind of wisdom that Solomon unfolds in relationships applies not just to people, but it also applies to the phone in your pocket, phone in my pocket. We have a relationship with that. We invest a lot of time in it. It comes in contact with shopping, with hunting, with fishing, with hobbies. We have a relationship with all of those things. Intramurals, that's a relationship I can improve in, admittedly. All throughout, from beginning to end, we see that Jesus sits down and teaches. Solomon sits down and teaches that if you're connected to it, if I'm connected to it, then we have a relationship with it. And if we have a relationship with it, then there is something that can be improved, something that can be gleaned. And here's why. Next slide, please. The world that you're surrounded by and the world that I'm surrounded by is a world that has very imperfect relationships. Very, very unhealthy relationships. When you go out of this building and you go into what we call the real world and are surrounded by friends that aren't in the church, surrounded by people that aren't necessarily Christians, that haven't necessarily put on the standard that we have, the way that they come into relationships and the way that they look at relationships is very different than the way that Solomon teaches us to. And it's so easy for us sometimes to take the way that the world looks at relationships and let it seep in slowly, ever so slowly into our lives. So that when we look, we see that my relationships aren't the way that God would have them to be, but they're the way that the world is illustrated for us. And here's what I mean by that. The expectations that the world has set for relationships completely and totally defy everything that we read in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. If you aren't already open in the Proverbs, that's where we're going to be all night. I'm just flipping through to a few different passages. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling." Have you ever seen a relationship or been in a relationship where the majority of that relationship is coming to somebody and saying something like, "I just need to vent"? Or coming to a relationship, coming to that person and bringing everything bad that has happened throughout your day. Every bad interaction, every bad moment, and you've brought it back home with you and you've brought it to that person. And you've unloaded right there. Because, I mean, that's what the world tells us the purpose of our relationships are, right? They're supposed to be my support system. And they're supposed to be my backbone, right? But then when we come into our relationships, we find that it doesn't go so well. And things don't work out the way that we thought they would when we come in constantly unloading our baggage over and over again and starting these quarrels and creating nothing but strife between us and this other person. And we think about it, and we look at the life of Solomon, and he wrote that, and I think to myself, he was the king of Israel. Not only was he the king of Israel, but he was the wisest man on earth, the richest man on earth, and the man that was contracted to build God's temple for God's people. His life wreaked stress. Day in and day out, it was nothing but stress. Solomon understands. Solomon has this wisdom because what you're going through, he's been there and he's done that. And he's saying, we can't take all the stress and constantly be bringing it into our relationships and taking it into our relationships just to unload it. And because we expect that, it feels so good now that I've got that all off my chest. But in that moment, what we've done is we've taken that burden that we've been carrying all day long and placed it on the person that we've committed to love and said that we care about. And then on the flip side, where this becomes absolutely and totally toxic is that in that exact same relationship, what the world is going to do is completely defy Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21, where it says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. And I want to look at the word pursues here for a minute. Because our expectation of relationships is that we can go into them when we can unload all our baggage to make me feel better. And at the same time, I can come over here and get my full and total fulfillment in life from this other person. Or maybe it's phone, or maybe it's social media, or maybe it's social club, or maybe it's making music, whatever it is. I can come to this place, this imperfect place, and get all my fulfillment and unload all of my baggage and have this cycle over and over again, day in and day out, of coming in into our relationships expecting to be able to get total fulfillment, receive total fulfillment from them. Happiness, joy, contentment, that's where I'm going to find all of that, is in this other person. But at the same time, what I'm giving is hurting me, it's hurting them, it's hurting our relationship altogether. And when we talk about fulfillment, we think about fulfillment. Think about this. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And in that fact alone, you cannot convince me that he wasn't searching for something. Searching for some sort of fulfillment, some sort of contentment. And he thought that he had found it in relationships until he gets to the end of his life and writes the things that we've been reading this evening. And I wonder if we realize that we're even doing it. I don't realize that I do that, but I do. And it's like you have an apple tree that you eat every single meal off of, but you pack an axe with you every time you go to get an apple off the tree. And so you go and you get meal one, plucks apple, eats apple, takes a huge chunk out of the tree with the axe, goes home. Oh, I'm getting pretty hungry again. He goes back and does it over and over and over again. How long is it going to be until that tree is dead and unfruitful and worthless and on the ground? Maybe a week, if that. And yet that is exactly and precisely what we find ourselves doing with our relationships, going to them expecting to get everything and give all the bad and leave content and happy. And I'm guilty as charged as much as anybody else in this room right now. And the reason that we live in a world surrounded by failed relationships, and the reason that honestly we live in a world surrounded that is full of discontent and unhappy people, is because, next slide please, they are looking to find all of the right things in all of the right places. If you've ever had an unhealthy relationship, maybe, if we've ever had an unhealthy relationship, maybe it's that we are putting expectations on that relationship that only God can fulfill. A place where I can go and get complete and total fulfillment and unload all of my baggage. That's the pure definition of what God calls us to do. If we're in a relationship with Him, we see that He says in Psalm 55, 22, you can come to me, you can unload whatever it is through the day on me. In Matthew chapter 11, where He says, come, for my yoke is easy and the burden that I give you is light. And on the complete flip side of that, we see in Psalm 145, 15 through 16, where we're told by the psalmist, you can get everything you ever need in life straight from the source of God. All of that fulfillment that we search for, all of that happiness and all that joy that we search for, we can find it in Him. Our relationships can be benefited by finding it all in Him and taking so much pressure off of this other person or these other people, or my phone or my social club or my social media or my other family or whatever it is that we lean on so often. And we move forward and we see that God requires our relationship to be the way that it is so that our relationship with Him can be the way that it needs to be. And the biggest question in this sermon and every single sermon that you'll ever listen to for the rest of your life, how? Okay, I get it. I followed you up through this point. I'm tracking. I see what you're saying. I see how that happens in other people's lives. I see how that happens sometimes in my life. But how do we overcome? How do we improve that? Next slide, please. Solomon, all throughout Proverbs, places a very high priority on communication. If you go through and you read Proverbs from end to end, you're going to find so much enrichment that comes in the category of how do I interact with other people. And looking at communication, we see that it's outlined in, let me find it for you, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, if you want to look at it. That communication is the basis of relationships. And that's not just because it's written in every relationship book that there ever was, but because that's how God designed it for us to be. And so we have to ask the question, okay, I want this to be better. I want this to be different. How do I communicate? And I think that's a really good question, and that's something that is incredibly hard to do with the Proverbs. And here's why. Next slide, please. We could talk about listening, and we could talk about patience, and I could connect it back to 1 Kings chapter 3, when part of what Solomon did on a daily basis with the very first time that he ever demonstrated his wisdom was when two mothers came to him. What he thought were two mothers with this one child, and they both said, "It's my baby." And he had to use his wisdom to discern who was the real mother. He was the king of Israel trying to build the temple and lead God's people back to him, and he's having to deal with this problem, the entire epitome of listening and patience. We could talk about, next slide, if we go a little bit further throughout the book, we could talk about humility in relationships. And how if a relationship needs to be successful, it can no longer be about just us. We have to give to the other person. Next slide, please. We could go even further and talk about how relationships are built on trust. Proverbs chapter 11 outlines that perfectly. Next slide, please. We could even go to prudent, how we have to be cautious in our relationships and exactly how we go about them, what we do, what we say. Next slide, please. We could even talk about how we're supposed to give, how it's not just about me taking, but about me investing in the other person. Next slide, please. We could talk about how we have to be peacemakers. Next slide, please. Hard workers. Next slide, please. But what I want to give you is, and we could go for the next 5 hours through the book of Proverbs. That's how much wisdom is there. And see all of the different attributes that we can pour into our relationships to make them better. But the one that I hope you take with you this evening is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. And as I turn there, it says this: I love those who love me, and those who seek me will diligently find me. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will diligently find me. I think that sometimes we assume that because we go to church and because every relationship that we have knows that we go to church, therefore God is in the middle of that relationship. I do that. I think a lot of times we look at the purpose of our relationships and we don't necessarily communicate purpose the same way that we communicate all these other things that we just listed and even more. Because the entire idea that God had behind relationships was giving us things that could bring us closer to Him. That's it. You take any one thing that God created and God gave and God blessed you with, blessed us with, it was for the sole purpose of you can use this, and in using this, it can bring you closer to me if you'll let it. And what we find is that we have to become exactly like Abraham did in Genesis chapter 22. If you remember that from being little and growing up in Bible class, that's the story of Abraham and Isaac and Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac. And if you read through Genesis chapter 22, what you're going to find is this. That he's had the promised child, he's had the golden child, Isaac, given to him, until verse 2, when God says, go up onto the mountain, and there you're going to sacrifice your son, your unique son, the son that God used later to illustrate his own son, Jesus, you're going to go and you're going to sacrifice him. And then a little bit later in verse 7, after Abraham takes up his son and goes and he walks up on the mountain, Isaac's looking around. He's like, hey, Dad. So I'm looking around and we have the altar and we have the wood and we have everything that we need, but where's the sacrifice? And then we go a little bit further and we see that Isaac completely and totally submits to his father and lays down on the altar. And then in verse 12, God shouts out and says, stop. Abraham, stop. And one of the most powerful references in all of Scripture happens in verse 12 when he says, for I now know that you fear me because of the action that you just took. And then where we're going to apply this into what we've just been talking about is in verse 17, when Abraham and Isaac both walk back off of that mountain together. And I want you to think about this for just a second. How did Isaac look at his father differently before and after that interaction? How did they walk off of that mountain with their relationship differently than the way that they walked up it? Because there was not a shadow of a doubt left in Abraham or Isaac's mind. Who came first? Who is at the center of the relationship? Or what the purpose of that relationship was to be? And that was to glorify God first and foremost. And I think for us, we could go through and list 100 different attributes. But what I'll leave you with this evening is let's communicate purpose. And whether it is our friends, whether it's our relationships, whether it's who we're dating, our family, our phone, our social media, whatever it is that you have connection to and that we have a relationship to, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to have wisdom in the relationships that we have, the way that Solomon had wisdom in the relationships that he had, we have to take each aspect of our life, each connection of our life, one by one up on the mountain. Say, God, I'm going to give it over to you. And we have to walk back off of that mountain with every single relationship with a very clear, very communicated understanding of who matters most and who's in charge. And if we want wisdom in relationships, I think that we found that is the entire entity of how God designed it to be. This evening, is there an aspect of your life that maybe isn't given over totally to God? That maybe you need help going up on that mountain with it and handing it over to him so that you can walk off a new person. If you have that need, please make it known as together we stand and as we sing.